Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, and today I'm having a virtual coffee date with Kara Alwell. She's a New York City-based creative entrepreneur who encourages women to live their most effervescent lives, celebrate themselves every day, and make their happiness a priority. She's a best-selling personal development author, mentor to women entrepreneurs, and creator of the Champagne Diet blog. Over 6 million listeners worldwide tune into Kara's podcast, Style Your Mind, each week for powerful conversations and a mega dose of inspiration. She's the author of 9 best-selling books, including the worldwide sensation, Girl Code. Her books have been translated into multiple languages, and her message continues to transcend cultures and break barriers for women across the globe. As well, guys, please be sure to look out for our post on social media this week. We're going to be giving away Kara's latest title, Girl on Fire, to one listener. I can't wait for you guys to hear this episode, so here it is. Kara, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on today. Thanks so much for being so open to chat with me. So I've invited you on for a bit of a little virtual coffee date, if you will. And I've had you come bearing a favorite beverage of choice. So what are you sipping on over there?
I am actually having some peppermint tea, which is rare for me. I'm not much of a tea drinker, but I've just been trying to do a little reset lately. Quarantine has been a wild ride in terms of like eating and drinking everything in sight. So I'm doing a little bit of a detox this week.
I'm completely with you. And everyone is like, you know, saying this is the prime time to like get on your fitness, get on your diet. And I'm like, I'm just kind of fed up over here. I'm ready for it to be over. So I'm not really on that wavelength.
I know. I'm with you. I think we have to give ourselves grace right now. It's such an unusual time in the world on so many levels. So you just got to kind of do your best every day and just take care of yourself.
Yes, 100%. So you are chatting with me from New York. And I love you just shared with me that London is one of your favorite cities. So I absolutely love hearing that. But to back up a little bit for the audience, where are you kind of originally from and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn, so I am actually a native New Yorker, which is pretty rare. Grew up in Brooklyn, lived there most of my life, and I actually moved into Manhattan about 2.5 years ago, and I now live in the East Village.
Ooh, I love it. And whereabouts in Brooklyn did you grow up? I'm curious.
I was in Bay Ridge, which is really South Brooklyn. So if you're familiar with the Verrazano Bridge, like I grew up like right at the foot of the bridge. We had a beautiful view of the water, and it was really, really nice, little suburban kind of area for New York, you know, especially for Brooklyn. So it was it took me a long time to leave, actually. I always dreamed of living in Manhattan because like who doesn't want to live here? It's fabulous. But there was always a part of me that just wanted to stay in Bay Ridge because it was like the perfect blend of like peacefulness and, you know, like families and just everything's green and we have a huge park, but you're also like a 20-minute Uber ride into Manhattan. So it's a really, really beautiful town. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll go back. We'll see.
Completely. So born and bred New Yorker. I love it. So career wise, where did your career kind of really start for you? I know you've done so much. You have like such an impressive background, but yeah, I guess first and foremost, like where would you say your career kind of started?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people will say their first corporate job. For me, I feel like my true career started when I was 17 and I launched a music magazine. So I don't know if you're familiar with fanzines, like back in the day in the 90s, they were like a big thing. I grew up watching MTV. I love music. I really wanted to be a music journalist. I like idolized Tabitha Soren, who was the MTV news host. And I was young. I was like 16, 17 when I started the zine. So I couldn't really get an internship yet at a record label. So a friend and I decided to start the zine. And we would call record labels up and we would say, you know, who we were. I was like 17 years old calling from like my bedroom on my, you know, landline phone saying I was like the CEO of Honey Spider Fanzine and requesting all these interviews with bands. And I was getting them. So we had like our own little mini empire going on for a while. We would go to Kinko's and photocopy copies of the magazine and like go to shows and hand them out all around the city. So that was like my first like job, I guess, in a way, like my first time that I really took on any kind of entrepreneurial venture. And then from there, I got started in digital media and I worked for J Records. I used to work for Clive Davis. I worked in the music marketing side. So I launched websites for artists like Alicia Keys. And I grew from there. I wound up at MTV in digital advertising. So I took a little bit of a turn from the marketing side. I went to like the digital ops side for a while. And that was really my corporate career. So it was very focused in digital media, but it wasn't until, you know, I started my blog in 2008 when I really kind of ventured into what I do now. And 12 years later, it's like gone on a completely different path, but it's always really been rooted in storytelling, in online content, and in really just, you know, sharing things, you know, whether it was about me or it was about the artists that I worked with or it was about the advertisers that I represented. Like, I've always just been passionate about that, you know, the power of the internet in telling powerful stories and reaching an audience.
Completely. And so your blog's called The Champagne Diet. I love the name, by the way, but I suppose where did that kind of come from?
Oh, it's such a funny story. So it actually was inspired by a glass of champagne. And it started 12 years ago in 2008, and I was working at MTV, and I was going through like a whole, I don't know if you went through this moment in your own life or if anyone listening did, but it was very much like a WTF moment. Like, is this really what my life is? You know, I was working in a job, and as great as my company was, I was unhappy. I wasn't creative. I was overworked. I was in a really crappy relationship. I wasn't treating my body well. You know, I was like working like 10, 11 hour days. And I decided to start from the inside out. My transformation really started. So I knew that I wanted to start with like eating healthier, working out, taking care of myself. And I talked to one of my coworkers at MTV and she's like, yeah, you know, you should just start eating a more organic and whole foods and kind of like focus on a plant-based diet and just start eating for energy. And I remember like listening to her, and I grew up in the 90s where it was like Weight Watchers and South Beach Diet and like Lean Cuisine meals, you know? So for me, like the idea of just like eating healthy was so foreign to me, but I was going for it. I was like into it. But I said to her, like, can I drink? Because I think with any like diet, you want to know you can have a cocktail here or there. And she looked me like square in the face and she's like, yes, but you can only drink champagne. And I'm like, okay, like tell me more. And she went on to explain that like champagne has like less than 100 calories in a glass. I think technically according to like most, you know, calorie tracking apps, I think like 5 or 6 ounces of champagne has like 96 calories. So she's like, it's the best bang for your buck. You know, it's the sexiest drink. Like, you look really glamorous when you're drinking it. So I'm like, okay. And I started drinking champagne when we would go out to like our little happy hours. And I noticed as soon as I started to enjoy champagne, I felt different. Like, I felt like the whole experience was elevated, and it wasn't even about the actual drink. It was like the whole ritual around it, like popping the bottle and putting it in this beautiful glass. And champagne became a metaphor for me. So as I was making changes in my life and really upgrading my thoughts and upgrading my lifestyle and really choosing myself, I like very tongue in cheek started calling it the champagne diet. And I knew I wanted to share these stories and this transformation with women. And I wanted to help anyone who might have been in my shoes, you know, prior to what I had gone through, and anybody that really wanted to change. Because I felt like, you know, if I'm out there feeling this way, there's got to be other people that do too. And I started the blog, and I named it The Champagne Diet, and it just stuck.
I love that. It's almost like the champagne diet. It's like, you know, a feeling, an emotion, that kind of thing. I think it's true.
Yeah, it's a philosophy, really, for a lifestyle, for celebrating every day. I think, like, you know, we're so hard on ourselves, especially as women. And if we just take a moment at night, and, you know, obviously we're not going to be drinking like champagne every night, but even if you take a moment at night with a cup of tea or like just before you go to bed and like celebrate how you showed up in that day and how you felt and what you contributed to the world and what you got done and how amazing you feel and how grateful you are for your life, like, in essence, that's what the champagne diet is.
I love that. I completely agree with you. I feel like it's all about self-care as women, just like taking those moments, because there are not enough hours in the day, and we literally try to do all of it. So you are kind of a bit of a jack of all trades, I would like to say. You're a best-selling author, speaker, life coach, blogger, influencer. I feel like the list goes on. Is this something that has kind of like evolved very naturally for you? And then secondly, probably a loaded question, but how the hell do you prioritize all of your different businesses?
Okay, so I started, you know, as a blogger, really. And through the blog, it was interesting because it really led me down such a crazy path. But like in retrospect, it like makes sense. Like there's a Steve Jobs quote that I love. And he says, you can't connect the dots looking forward, but you can connect the dots looking backward. And I feel like that's kind of how my journey was. So I started blogging. And at the time, there was no Instagram. And there was like Twitter and Facebook. So I would just like post my blog post to like the Twitter sphere or like my friends on Facebook. And I noticed that I was getting like a real response from women who were resonating with what I had to say. And I wanted to do more. Like I loved writing and I knew that I had a book in me and I knew I wanted to write a book. That was actually really the impetus for starting the blog. I was like, I need a platform. If I ever want to tell these stories and have a book, I need to have this platform because who's going to read a book from someone they've never heard of, right? So through the process of writing and sharing and being really transparent and being vulnerable and really genuinely wanting to like lift other women up, I decided to go to life coaching school and enroll in a program. And I was still working at MTV. And I remember I shut the door to my office one day and I just started cold calling all these life coaching schools. And I didn't know anything about the coaching world. Like I didn't have friends in the industry. Like I never had my own life coach. I just thought it would be the fastest way to help people without having to go back to school and become like a therapist or or a psychiatrist. And I also, like, as I learned more about coaching, I learned that it's very different than therapy, obviously. Coaching is really, you know, you're working with people who are really functional. You're just helping them become optimal. And that sounded really attractive to me because I felt like that was the transition that I went through in my own life. Like I was fine. I wasn't in like a deep, dark hole. I didn't have any serious issues to deal with, but I just wanted to be my best self. So I convinced MTV to actually pay for my coaching school. They had a program there called Intuition at the time. And I convinced my boss that I'd be able to use the skills in my day job, which I did. And I went to school and I hustled like a couple nights a week. I think my classes were like 3 hours a night, two nights a week. So I was like totally going to work, coming home, going to school, doing my projects, you know, like getting in all my coaching hours. And from there, you know, I started writing my books. And again, coaching really was something I wanted to do to have credibility. Like, so I wanted to have my book out there, but I wanted credentials. I wanted to just be more than a blogger. You know, I felt like really strongly about having these like skills and education to be someone that people could trust, right? Not like just like a random girl on the internet giving advice. Like not that there's anything wrong with that, but I knew I wanted to elevate my platform and my profile. So so from the blog, I started the coaching business and taking on clients at night and on weekends. I did group coaching programs. I wrote my books and then the podcast came and it's kind of just all evolved from there. But again, it's really always just been rooted in empowering women.
Completely. I feel like community in your network has probably been so key, like throughout kind of all of this for you, would you say? Is it all about kind of building that community?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's what people are really craving, you know? And I think especially now in this time in the world, like when we were all in quarantine, it occurred to me even more so that community is so important because we didn't have those days that we could go out and like have lunch or, you know, have a girls night or go to an event in person. So building communities is something I've always been passionate about. And I think seeing what happens when you give people a space to connect, like, yes, maybe I'm the person that they meet through, but it's really not about me. It's really about them. It's really about the girls in my community, in my world, you know, my audience and my tribe, sisterhood, whatever you want to call it. So I love that. And I think, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe, as they say. So if, you know, you're putting out content that people relate to and then they're meeting more like-minded people through you, like that's just such a fulfilling experience. I'm sure you see it happen in your platform too, you know?
Yes, 100%. And I'm my head is like spinning. I really want to dig into this like life coach and mentor. I feel like I need a life coach in my in my circle. What are, I guess, some of like the recurring themes that come up for a lot of your female clients? And then I presume there are a lot of, you know, some like-minded, so business entrepreneur kind of types of clients. So yeah, I suppose, what are some of the recurring themes that keep coming up?
Well, fear is a big one. So a lot of the women that I tend to attract, especially now. So in the beginning, I did much more of life coaching. I've really evolved into like a business mentor, almost like even a brand consultant. That's kind of what I'm doing now with my new agency, Icon Blonde, because I love the business building aspect, but I also know how important the mindset is in the world of entrepreneurship, specifically female entrepreneurship. So the theme that I always see coming up is that really women are living a life that they don't feel aligned with, but they're afraid to take the steps to get out there and do the things they really want to do. So I posted a question once a long time ago. I think I put it on Twitter or Instagram, and I said, you know, who would you be if you were the person you secretly dreamed of being? And that's really like in a nutshell what it is, right? Like so many people are like, oh, I wish I could just move abroad, or I wish I could just quit my job and start this business, or I wish I could just, you know, get out of this relationship and go and pursue what I really want and find the kind of partner I really want. But people feel stuck. So a lot of what I do is just helping people get unstuck in those moments in their lives, right? Because we all have them. I've had them too. And then from the branding side and the business development side, I work with a lot of women on really identifying like what their personal brand is, how to show up authentically, how to really tell their stories powerfully. Because I think people really underestimate themselves and they're like, well, what's so special about me? Or what do I have to offer the world? But we all have something so amazing and unique to offer the world. So it's like a blend of empowerment and strategy, I would say.
Completely. And that's something that I was super eager to talk to you kind of from the beginning when I first discovered you and all of your books is confidence building. And I feel like for women in our personal and our professional lives, it's a tough one, as you were saying, and it's, you know, fear-based and all of that jazz. But I suppose for people in the audience that are listening, what are kind of some action steps we can take to kind of build our own confidence?
You know, I think the first step is realizing that you have everything within you to succeed. Like, I think sometimes we look around at people around us and we're like, oh, well, she had this connection, or she's prettier, she's skinnier, she has more money, she knows more people, she has more followers. At the end of the day, everybody is starting from a different place, but you have exactly what you need to move forward in the way you're meant to move forward. So we all have a very different path to walk in our journeys, whether it's lifestyle, career, whatever. Everybody's got a different, you know, path ahead of them. So I think accepting that is really the first step. And then I think knowing that like confidence is not just like a switch that we flip. You know, we don't just like become confident one day. It's something that we work on every single day. It's almost like a daily practice, like a religion, if you will. You know, it's something that we have to be aware of. And I think that part of it is being vulnerable and realizing that we're not perfect, and all of those little things that we consider flaws are actually really special and really what make us unique. And, you know, even in life, like, you know, a lot of women will come to me and say, well, I'm just not confident. Like, I don't feel like I'm good enough to do this, or I feel like I failed in the past, or I made mistakes, or whatever, right? But it's understanding that all of those quote mistakes and failures, I actually don't even believe in the word failure. I think it's just an experience. All of those things are what shape us. And if we can just kind of shift our mindset and become a little bit more self-aware and realize that everything's an opportunity to learn and to grow and to evolve and to shift into a different space, you realize that all those things are meant to happen. Like my first book, I tried to get my first book published by a traditional publisher, and it was rejected 19 times by 19 different publishers. So at that moment, like I could have easily given up and been like, okay, nobody wants me. I suck. I'm never going to be an author. I'm a terrible writer. But I decided to move forward. I decided to self-publish my book. I chose myself. I knew that I had an audience, even if it was small. I gave up on the idea of trying to impress anyone else or impress an editor or a publisher. And I just went for it. And from there, like my books have just taken off. So like so much of it is just getting started with where you are, with what you have, and not letting this idea of like perfection or having to be chosen by someone get in the way.
Absolutely. And I love your most recent book, Girl on Fire. And I feel like you talk so much about that. You talk about taking action, confidence building, and you give like actionable steps. And, you know, there's places for taking notes and all of that within the book. But what is kind of the premise of the title, and maybe like one or two key takeaways that people can kind of expect to walk away from after reading it?
Yeah. So the book, like I said, it's about kind of living without permission. It's about just choosing yourself and doing the things that you want to do and kind of rejecting the status quo. I think we are just taught to kind of grow up in this world and follow the rules and do what everyone else is doing. And, you know, what is that quote, that famous quote, well-behaved women rarely make history. You know, I that always like sticks out in my mind. And that was like one of the leading quotes that kind of guided me as I wrote this book, because I thought about my own life and the lives of the women who really inspire me. And they didn't follow the rules. They didn't stick to what was expected of them. They went out there and they lived authentically. They lived boldly, you know, and I share my experiences. I talk about my self-publishing journey. I talk about starting my vintage line. I feature other women in the book. There's a story that I have in there. I don't know if you read this part, but about my friend Noelle Santos, who started the Lit Bar. It's the only bookstore in the Bronx. And she was actually a Snapchat follower of mine and a reader of my books. And this was like years ago. This is probably 2014 or 2015. She sent me a message on Snapchat. And she's like, you know, I need your advice. I just learned that there are no more bookstores in the Bronx. Now, the Bronx is like a major borough in New York City with millions of people, right? So the fact that there was not one bookstore in her community, like, really just frustrating. It just enraged her. And she signed a petition for her local politicians to build this bookstore. And she was like, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'm not waiting on somebody else to do this. I'm doing this. Now, at the time, she was working in a corporate job. She was in HR working on Wall Street. She had a six-figure salary. She's very comfortable in her life. But something within her was calling her to take action. And she wound up starting a crowdfunding campaign. She raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. She wound up getting a ton of press. And this is just a girl, a random girl who just decided to do something, right? She had no connections to booksellers. She didn't know a thing about the industry. And she wound up creating this massive bookstore in the Bronx. It's called the Lit Bar. It's got a wine bar in the back. It's like completely her vision. And watching her do that to me was so inspiring. And I think if we could get out of our own way as women and just get out there and do the things that we want to do, like, we would be completely unstoppable. Just this past week, Beyonce posted about her bookstore. Like, it's just mind-blowing to me what's possible. You never know where your ideas are going to lead. You never know who's going to find you. You know, and she's now showed up for her community in such a big way. And it's just, it's so inspiring. So that's really what the book is about. It's just this manifesto for just burning the rule book, doing things because you truly want to do them, not letting perfection stand in your way, and just forging your own path.
So that's really incredible. It seems to me that it's just all about, like, those action steps, taking action. And so would your advice be for someone who is maybe, like, new to some of your books is, like, just take the time to be reading your excerpts, but also sitting down and, like, actually writing out some of, like, your aspirations. I know I was kind of doing that this morning, and just kind of, style your mind is another one that you have where, you fill in kind of just, like, what you think you want your life to sort of look like.
Yeah. And that's actually all from my coaching background. I learned all of that through coaching, the power of questions. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I took from learning those coaching skills, because how often do we take the time to really ask ourselves, like, what is the vision for my life? Like, what do I want to happen? You know, how do I want to show up in the world? How do I want to feel every day? Like, I just love the power of questions, and I love encouraging women to really sit down and take the time to ask themselves that. And it doesn't take long. You know, it's not a huge commitment. If you can find 10 minutes in the morning while you have your coffee, right? And even just something simple as asking yourself, like, what is my intention for the day? I think that you can really just take control of your life in such a big way just by taking those small moments.
Definitely. It's like self-affirmation and journaling and kind of just taking those moments to really reflect.
Yeah. And to be intentional, you know, to choose how you want to show up. Like, that's like the simplest thing. Like, one of my favorite questions in the morning is, like, how do I want to show up in the world today? You know, and it really will also snap you out of, like, a rabbit hole you're going down, or if you're in a bad mood or you have a lot of anxiety. Like, do I want to show up as this anxious, angry, frustrated woman? Or do I want to show up as somebody who has grace and is calm and radiates peace and control of her life? You know, like, just those little simple tweaks can really change things.
Definitely. It's like all the things you're saying too, they're so simple and you're breaking them down, but I feel like we do get kind of stuck in the rabbit hole or on the hamster wheel, if you will. And we just don't take those moments to kind of slow down and reflect.
Totally. And it's so important. And I think when you even just taking the time, like, even if you have trouble with the answers, just sitting down and, like, taking the time for yourself also really shifts you. It puts you in a very different place. You know, it's about slowing down and stopping. And like you said, getting off that hamster wheel, getting out of that repetitive, you know, crazy thought pattern, that loop that you might be going through where you feel overwhelmed. Again, especially now, you know, I've been talking a lot about this time we've had in the world and in quarantine, and it's so disorienting for us. So giving yourself just a couple of minutes to think about what you want in your life, and then especially thinking about what you want in your business, how you want to move forward, what are the things that you want to accomplish? It really just, it just feels so good to do that.
Definitely. And now I think it's, like, actually the perfect time to take those moments, for sure. So I know you have a podcast as well. What is the premise of your podcast? And then as well, like, has there been kind of a favorite guest of yours to date or someone that's like really inspired you?
Yeah. So the podcast is called Style Your Mind. And my tagline is it's for women on the edge of change. And that really is who it's dedicated to. It's for women who are going through transformations in their lives, whether it's personally or professionally. And, you know, everything that I do with my clients and everything that I write about in my books, I really kind of amplify that through the podcast. So every episode has a theme. I think I really attract like very success-driven women. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to listen to the show because I talk about everything from, you know, personal style to wellness to, you know, just lifestyle to all of that stuff. In terms of my favorite guest, that's a good question. I don't have guests on that often. So for me, it's like I kind of just, you know, if somebody's really inspiring me, I'll have them on. I actually had a male guest, and I know the podcast is really geared toward women, but his name is Noah Shaw, and he started as my Soul Cycle instructor and has become just a dear friend of mine. And that episode was really powerful. It was one of my first ones. I think it was probably 2017, that spring when I launched the podcast. You got to go way back in the archives to listen to it. But it was so powerful, but it was so different because it was with this guy. And, you know, he's got a really interesting past. He was a drug addict, an alcoholic. He completely turned his life around. And the reason I had him on is because I met him through SoulCycle and his classes changed my life. You know, I went through so much. I've been riding for 5 years with him and I just went through this whole transformation and I wanted to share him with my audience. And to this day, I still get emails about that episode and people are like, wow, that was just so good. It's just, you know, you can't fake the funk, as they say. And like Noah, it doesn't fake anything. Like he's just got such a colorful, interesting past and he's honest and he's raw and vulnerable. And he's made so many steps in his own life to change and just to be of service to others. And it's just super inspiring.
Amazing. I'm gonna have to go back and definitely listen to that one. I suppose on the note of SoulCycle, how are you doing surviving without it?
Oh God, not well. No, I'm okay. I ordered a Peloton way back in March because the SoulCycle bike wasn't out yet. So that was really my option. But it's funny, I'm such a diehard SoulCycle fan that when the Peloton came, I actually didn't even attach the screen with the classes. I just used the bike and I put on my own playlist and I ride. So like, I could have probably gotten any spin bike, but it's a great quality one. And I try to put on like playlists that Noah would play in class or, you know, sometimes he'll do like little mini classes on Zoom or on Instagram Live. So I'll just kind of like ride along. But I miss the community. You know, I think like all of us right now, we just miss our communities. We miss our friends. We miss showing up and having a place to go. So yeah. We'll see. Hopefully that'll come back at some point.
Absolutely. 100%. I'm with you. I guess to wrap up, is there like one, I guess, final word of advice you would give to like any like female entrepreneurs or like aspiring, I guess, bloggers or content creators out there from like a career standpoint that you'd want to offer them?
Yeah. You know, just know that there's room for you at the table. I think a lot of women stop themselves before they start anything because they feel like their industry is too crowded. There's too much noise online, but there's room for all of us. And I think that really begins with just being true to yourself and really showing up as who you are and knowing that you have so much to offer us. So just, you know, find your thing, find your signature, you know, niche, find whatever it is that like makes you special and show up often, be consistent, you know, continue to show up, continue to believe in yourself. Even if you've got 3 people following you, act like it's 3 million.
I love that. I think that's the perfect place to kind of wrap up. But before you go, what is next for you? Is there anything like exciting or upcoming that you want to touch on or share with the audience?
Yeah. So I just launched Icon Blonde, which is my new brand specifically for female entrepreneurs. So it's really a hub for women who want to focus on either defining or refining their personal brand, pivoting is a big thing right now with everything going on in the world. People are shifting their brands, shifting their business models. It's 2 parts. So it's like 1 part business development agency. So I work with women one-on-one in strategy sessions. And then I'm also going to be starting a separate podcast for that and just producing a ton of content online, ebooks, workbooks, masterclasses, and that sort of thing. So that's super exciting for me.
Congrats. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Before you go, I feel like I've said this, where can everyone follow you and like keep up with you and all that jazz?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at The Champagne Diet. And then I'm also at Icon Blonde Agency, and it's blonde with an E. And my podcast is called Style Your Mind.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, Kara.
Thank you.
As well, everyone, we're going to be giving away a signed copy of Girl on Fire to one listener. So keep an eye out on the Lipstick Fever social posts and the big move this week. And as always, thank you guys for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share with a friend, tag us on Instagram @The Big Move Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we'll catch you all in the next episode.